Hi everyone, this is Heather Podesta and welcome to the call. I am so excited about today's call because we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics, which is image. Your image, both online and offline, is critical to how you're being perceived by your audience. If your image doesn't reflect your brand, your industry, or your value in the most polished and professional way, you are probably going to lose out on potential clients and have a much harder time demanding the kinds of fees that will make your heart really sing. So this is such a great module that we're going to be covering today. It's fun. It's creative. So I really want you to just have fun with it. Let your mind be open and try not to have any preconceived ideas of about what you think should be the answers or not the answers. Just really let it come organically. But it is very, very, very important to think about your image, both your personal image, your physical image, and your online presence. 99% of us are visual creatures, and people buy with their eyes. You only have a few seconds to make that first impression, and online, you're just a click away from becoming irrelevant. You know, when I was doing a lot of auditioning, my teacher used to say to me, Heather, they see you before they hear you, meaning your impression is being made about you before you open your mouth to sing, about how good you are, how you'll sound, what kind of colleague you'll make. All of those things are being judged immediately. And if you're not presenting yourself as a polished, you know, capable, talented person in the way that you look visually, you're starting with one foot in the ground already because someone else is going to show up looking like $1 million. And the same is true for everyone. We make snap judgments about people every moment of every day. You see someone across the street and your mind starts going through this filter. You think, how old are they? How much money do they make? Are they single? Are they married? Are they gay? Are they straight? It's just programmed into our DNA. You know, it was the caveman times. They used that to keep themselves safe and also to procreate. You know, is this person across the meadow there a friend or a foe? Are they going to kill me or are they going to be perfect mate, right? It's programmed into our DNA as human beings. So it's very, very, very powerful. So you can like it or you cannot like it, but you have to realize it's happening. And when you accept that it's happening, you can start to use your image to your advantage. You want to be in control of the messages you're sending out about your brand. Your image should be intentional. When you see those little starlets in Hollywood with their messy hair and their ripped shorts and their aviator glasses, you can bet that's planned for the most part. It's not just that they threw something on because they know that the paparazzi are going to be following them. Their look was intentional to be cool and laid back. Now, not everyone has a luxury brand. Your brand may be relaxed and casual, but it still needs to be polished and consistent. Think about companies like Eddie Bauer. They're really clear about their image and their vibe. It's very, you know, sort of rustic, maybe a little bit crunchy, very some parts of athletic, but outdoorsy. But every thing in that store, if you go into one of those stores, their products look like they have a certain vibe to them. Their brand isn't high-end, but the brand image is congruent and polished. Their stores are neat and clean. They have the knotty pine tables. The floors are wooden. Everything is lined up just so, and they have the big screen in the back with the kayakers, all that stuff. It's all on brand. It's very intentional, but it's not stuffy. It's not Chanel. It's their brand. You just have to remember, if your brand is luxury, casual, laid back, you know, formal, for everything, the higher the level of polish, the higher the perceived value. So let me give you an example. Say you were doing some kind of project in your house and you needed to hire a contractor. You know, we always get more than one bid usually to see, you know, who's right for the job. And the same thing is happening for you as a service provider, as a coach, as a consultant, as someone who has products and programs. People are shopping. So imagine you have this contractor coming to your door and you're interviewing them. So the first one comes to the door, ding dong. You open the door And there is this rusty old dude who's just come from his last job. He's not shaven. He's got paint on his clothes. He's wearing some kind of grungy shirt, you know, and he pulls out a pencil from behind his ear and a little notepad from his pocket that's all wrinkled and asks about your project. Now, he could be the best contractor in the world, you know, the guy that rolls up his sleeves and really gets the job done. But there's an image, there's an impression that's made by his level of professionalism. So next contractor comes to the door, ding dong. You open the door, and there stands this guy, and he's got on khakis, and they're clean, and they're pressed, and he has on a belt. He's not dressed in a suit. I mean, he still looks like a contractor, but he has on a polo shirt, and has a logo with the name of his company on it, and he's got a nice clipboard and a pen, and he's clean-shaven. He looks more professional. So who do you think is going to command higher fees, right? You know, it really makes a difference in how you're perceived. These people are judging us on how we look online and how we look in person. And how you look in person matters online as well, because your face, your image is going to be on your social media profiles. It's going to be in a lot of your marketing and in your collateral. It's going to be on your website. It really matters. So you need to think about how you want to be perceived. You want to ask yourself, is my current personal image reflecting my desired brand? What does my website look like? What are the pictures on my site saying? What are the photos on my social media profile saying? What do my marketing materials look like? What does my store or office look like if you have people coming in to where, to your workspace? All of these elements of image contribute to the strength or weakness of your brand. I always say you can buy a steak at BJ's or you can buy a steak at Capital Grill. It's the same steak, but a totally different experience and a completely different price point. There's no wrong answer. You might have a BJ's brand. You might have a big box store brand, and that's totally cool. But you really have to be clear about what you want and what your desired perception is and your audience. So let's get some clarity right now. First, we're going to be talking about identifying something that I call your brand words. These are going to be the filters that you put everything through when you are putting any visuals together for your brand. When you're thinking about the look and feel of your brand, you want it to be strong and consistent. Now, I believe there are two points of view you need to consider when doing this exercise, because the first part of it is going to be surveying your audience, right? The point of view of your audience, and then the second one is your point of view about yourself, your inner compass. And I believe both of them are important, and I'm going to explain why. So first, you're going to survey your audience, your friends, your families, your colleagues, your clients. Go on Facebook and ask, and it can be really simple. It doesn't have to be big and dramatic. You're just going to say, what three words best describe me in your opinion? And you just want three adjectives. They don't have to write a dissertation. It doesn't have to be a sentence, just three words. Bubbly, warm, and smart. Edgy, cool, and sophisticated, whatever it is. And then you're gonna get a list of words, and depending on how many people you ask, the more the better. It's because then you'll get a really, you know, good sampling. You're going to take the top three words that pop up, and those are your brand words. Those are the words, those are the ways that people currently experience who you are. And, you know, these are probably going to be positive words. I mean, 9 times out of 10, you might get one that you're like, hmm. And if you get one that's like, it's just an anomaly. Just don't worry about it. Because some of them might resonate with you and some might not. But if you interview 50 people and you get 35 people who say you're smart, well, then that's a really good sign that that's exactly how you're being perceived by most of the people. The key here is not to change the words to suit you. You want to use the words that the audience is using and thinking. If they say elegant, then think elegant and not sophisticated. Because it has a specific, if enough people are saying that, you want to be specific. Now, having said that, a lot of branders, a lot of coaches will say that's where you stop. You survey your audience, you get the ways that you're being perceived, and then you filter everything through that. So if your brand words were loving, warm, and organized, then everything that you do should be filtered through those adjectives. Your pictures might be warm. The way that you do your services would be organized. Your content would be organized. Loving, you might have really wonderful, warm posts and quotes about loving things, right? So you're going to filter through there. But for me, I always think that the brand starts with you. You must consider your desired impression, because your brand comes first and foremost from you. The people that are giving you this feedback are responding to what you're putting out. So it has to be organic. And as we grow and evolve as people, sometimes I want you to think about this for yourself. Sometimes we get more comfortable about expressing parts of ourselves that were once dormant, but they start to maybe take on a more meaningful feeling to you. So maybe when you were younger, you were really, I'm not talking about anybody on this call in particular, but maybe you were a wild child, right? And as you've grown, you've gotten more sophisticated. Well, if the people that you were dealing with in the past knew you as a wild child, but you're growing your business, you've learned, you've evolved, and you feel more sophisticated, then write down those words for yourself, because what I want you to do is to consider if there are any discrepancies. So three words from your audience, and then do your own three words. How do you want to be perceived? What do you feel your three words that best describe you? And if there are discrepancies, you want to think about, is the discrepancy because I don't really think that's who I am? Or is it because maybe it is how you're putting it out there, but you just hadn't considered it? Like maybe people see you as really, really warm, and you've been putting out images and pieces to your brand that are maybe a little more formal because you thought, in air quotes, you needed to be professional, right, to come off as a professional. And when you really embrace, okay, people really see me and respond to me as a warm person, maybe I can loosen up on my idea that I have to be a certain way in order to be in business. But ultimately, you want to distill your brand words down to three. And it might be that you're doing, the ones from your audience. I mean, those are really, really key. So try as much as you can to align with that. But if there's one that this is where I differ, and so you might hear different opinions about this, but I'll give you an example for myself. So I've done this recently, and three of the words that came back really consistently for me were polished, elegant, and authentic. And for me, I have to have sensuality in what I express. It's a really core thing. It's a core feeling of mine, and I think that it gets expressed in maybe the elegant word. But if that's not there for me, it just feels dry. And so I include that in my brand filter of what I'm putting out, because I think that when I do, it comes through in an elegant way. But I want to keep that. That's not going away, even though that wasn't one of the responses that came back as one of the top three from my audience. But it's really important to me, and I wouldn't feel like myself if that wasn't present. So try to drill it down to three words, use your audience words, but then also take heed to what really deeply resonates with you if it's not there. So that's my little lecture about those three things. But once you have those three words, you want everything to go through that filter, right? So think about how I can be more smart, in the visual. Okay. I'm just using that as an example. So then you're going to ask yourself, am I showing up right now as these three words? What are my top three promises in my business? So, mine might be attracting high-end clients, dramatically increasing brand ROI, up-leveling your presence on and offline. Am I showing up as someone who delivers those promises? So what are your three promises in your business? Are the images, the copy, all of those things showing up as someone who can deliver those promises? If you want high-end clients, is your brand reflecting that visually? Are you showing up that way visually? Okay. And how do you want to be perceived in terms of your ability to get results? Right? Do you want, if you're transforming people so that they're happier and more fulfilled, you want to be able to express that visually. That's going to be a different look from somebody who's trying to make seven figures for their clients. It's different. Then you have to think about the visual of that. And am I currently expressing the desired impression? How am I doing it well? And what adjustments do I need to make? What would be maybe a better representation of this desired perception? So this is where you're going to start to do your homework. If someone is saying that you are brave and courageous and smart, and you're looking at your marketing and it's not looking that way, then where can you make the adjustments? Okay. So that's really to get you sort of thinking about these filters. Now we're going to talk about your style a little bit, about your physical image, because people are buying from you. Even if you're hiding behind your computer all day, you still should have photos of yourself online and social media. People are checking you out. And actually, the more, the better to build up your visibility. So the more pictures you have online, the better. So we want to look our best and on brand, so that it's not just about looking like, you know, you walk out of a magazine. It's so that you feel amazing about the way you look and that you're showing up as the best version of who you authentically are. Being stylish, having a great image is not about putting on false veneers. It's about adorning and celebrating the beauty of who you are inside and out. So we're going to look a little bit deeper at your brand personality to help you start to think about this, to get a sense of the vibe that you want to have for your style and how you want to express yourself. And then we're going to talk about some basic style and image building blocks. You have some practical tools to then express the style that we're exploring. Okay, so we're going to be talking about the personality of your image. In order to create a polished and authentic brand presence, you have to be clear on the essence of what you're trying to communicate. So these are just some fun questions to ask yourself to really get that those creative juices going. How would you like your brand to be perceived by your audience, right? We just talked about that, the brand words. What parts of your personality are important for you to express in your brand image? Are you quirky, right? Is it important for you? Like I just said, it's really important for me to have an element of sensuality in my brand. And in the way that I'm dressing, if I don't, you know, sometimes it's not practical. If I'm going to take my refuge to the dump, it's not as important to look and feel sensual perhaps. But it is, it does make me feel powerful, so that would be a part of my personality that I would want to express in the way that I look visually, because it's important to me. Okay, so how are you going to kind of get in touch with what that is? One of the ways is there a piece of jewelry or an accessory that represents your style, and why, and what would that be? You know, maybe you have a pearl necklace because you're traditional and you think of it as high quality and elegant. Another thing you can think about is, do you have any favorite celebrities or successful role models whose look you really resonate with? What parts of their brand image would you like to emulate? And also another way you can think about this is, think of a positive way you think most people would describe you and finish this sentence. Oh, she's so, or he's so, right? She's so funny. She's so sweet, right? That's going to help you as well to kind of get in touch with those feelings. Next, how would you describe your personal style, right? Would you say you're conservative, you're like boho chic with a little sophistication? Really start to think about that because, again, it's about being intentional. And it's not to say you have to box yourself in, right? You're not just trying to like put on a suit of image. But the more consistency you can have and those threads that creates a recognizable style. It creates a recognizable brand image and brand vibe, and you want people to start remembering you and seeing you and recognizing elements of your brand image whenever you go, so that people will be like, oh, of course Heather would put that up there, or of course Jen would do that, or that totally looks like Trish. I don't even need to see her picture. I know that that's something that came from her brand. So whose style do you admire and why? What elements do you like? What are your favorite colors? If you had to rate yourself on a scale from being very conservative to maybe just traditional to really modern, where do you fall on that scale? How comfortable do you feel expressing yourself visually? Maybe you need to take baby steps. Maybe you're not ready to, you know, walk out the door in your leopard print leggings yet. But you're going to take little baby steps to start to be more bold about expressing who you are. What are your favorite types of clothing to wear? Are you a pants girl? Are you a skirts person, right? Maybe that's your signature thing. Maybe you wear pants and that's kind of like, you know, you got your Ellen look, right? Or maybe you're a skirt and stilettos kind of person. Really, you want to like lean into these things. And again, it's about showing up on brand when it's appropriate to do so. I don't want you showing up in your stilettos to, you know, your PTO meetings, unless that's really on brand for you. So it's not about being dressed up all the time. It's about showing up on brand in front of your audience. Having said that, you never know where your audience is going to be. I was traveling a couple of months ago back and forth to visit my parents, and I ran into Stedman Graham at the airport and went over and chatted with him, and thank God I had packed jeans and not just yoga pants for the plane, right? So, it, you know, think about where you might be expressing and representing your brand. Okay. How open might you be to trying new styles that you haven't considered before? Remember, we were saying that you're growing and evolving. Maybe there's something that's trying to come out and trying to express itself inside you. So explore those things and trust your gut instinct. If you're out shopping and you see a piece of jewelry or a belt or a shirt and you just love it and you don't know why, you don't have to know why. Just try it and see what it is trying to express through you. And then, do you currently have signature items to your style already, like, you know, fun pins or a pair of glasses that you wear or a bag that you wear that's sort of your thing, you know? What are your three most personal favorite items? Why? If you could create your ideal style, your signature style, and this is where it gets important, what would it look like? And I want you to drill down to three words for your style as well, because this is going to be another filter. So let's see, mine would definitely have to be sensual, right? Because there's a piece of that that's sensual, sophisticated, and a little edgy. That's how I like to dress. And if I don't have those elements in there, at least one of them, preferably two, if I can nail all three of them, I'm a happy girl. But if I put something on that's sporty and doesn't have any sophistication, any elegance, any sensuality to it or any edginess to it, I don't feel like myself. So it's really important to have those. And the more you can lean into that filter, the more of a consistent style you're going to create. Okay, so that set of questions was really to just get your creative juices rolling, because you do want to start to think about a style. Now, it's your style, right? It's unique to you, but it's not sporty one day and very sophisticated one day and then maybe a country girl another day and then maybe a romantic frilly girl another day. It's trying to really lean into who you are, and it doesn't mean you can't have days where you are casual or more sophisticated within your style. Let me give you an example so this isn't too confusing. So casual is not a style. Casual is a level of dress. So if I was going to kick back in my house and be super casual, I would probably wear, sweatpants and a t-shirt, maybe some flip-flops. But for someone else, it might be casual. I know somebody whose casual is a cashmere lounging set, or a silk lounging set with cashmere slippers. That's that person's casual. So it's not about casual or dressed up. It's about the style that you're expressing through that. Okay, The next thing we're going to cover is some basic building blocks so that you can sort of achieve this to the best of your ability and still look amazing. So basic building blocks for your image is, number one, fit. You need to know your figure type. And this is pretty straightforward. You're just going to look at yourself in the mirror and see the basic silhouette of your shape. A triangle, that's more, you know, some people say it's a pear. You know, a lot of women have this. Their hips are wider than their shoulders. Someone who's an hourglass is proportionate. Their shoulders and their hips are proportionate, but they have a very defined waist that comes in. Someone who has a figure eight is an extreme hourglass. So someone who has proportioned hips and shoulders, but often they have really big bust and a bubble bum. So someone like Kim Kardashian might be a figure eight, like an extreme hourglass. An introverted triangle is someone who has broad shoulders and narrow hips, like kind of like a swimmer's body. An oval is someone who is rounder in the middle than they are on their shoulders and their hips. And then a rectangular person is someone like Cameron Diaz, who doesn't have much of a waist. They're very thin. Well, they don't have to be necessarily thin, but there's not a really big – their hips and their shoulders – and their waist are all in alignment. So they just don't have that hourglass shape. So the more you can understand what your body type is, the easier it is to dress. And the objective for all body types is to achieve visually some kind of an hourglass. And you can do that with different things. So if you, for example, have a triangle or a pear and you have your bottom is wider than your top, you can balance that by wearing shoulder pads and wearing jackets that skim your waistline to accentuate your waist and then balance it out. So those are the different things that, you know, there's some different things, but you have to understand what the basic image, the basic figure type is first. So then the next thing is the ABCs of good fit, which I, what I was just talking about. You want to accentuate, for the A, your best features. If you have great legs, then wear skirts. If you have a really defined waistline, then you want to wear things that show your waistline, right? If I wear something, if I wear something that doesn't accentuate my waistline, I look 20 pounds heavier because my waist goes in and I have a like pretty ample chest. So if it doesn't go in, I look a lot heavier. So I want to always accentuate that. You might have a beautiful, you know, décolletage, like collarbones, and you want to accentuate. You want to draw the eye to anything that is one of your best features. So accentuate the positive. Then the B is balance, right? We just talked about that. If you have wider hips and shoulders, you want to balance that out by wearing maybe horizontal stripes on the top, or vice versa. If you have really wide shoulders and narrow hips, then you might want to wear something with a pattern on the bottom. You want to balance visually. So you want to pay attention which parts of your body are bigger and which ones are smaller in relationship to the whole. So if you were bigger on the bottom and smaller on the top, you would not want to wear a pattern on the bottom and a dark color on the top because that would make the top look smaller and the bottom look even bigger. So you want to balance it out. And then the next thing is to camouflage or disguise or draw attention away from any trouble areas that you're not comfortable with. So remember, bright colors draw attention towards something and dark colors make things recede. So if you want, you know, if you want someone to notice your eyes, you might wear earrings that are the same color as your eye color to draw people to look up, versus maybe if you're self-conscious about having, you know, junk in your trunk, you might not want to wear bright red pants or like pockets that had, you know, bling on the back, right? So camouflage what you don't want to accentuate. And then finally, fit is super important. If you get something that does not fit you properly, you're not going to feel as confident. And tailoring is one of the best ways that you can do to make your clothes look more expensive, to make you look more polished. And a lot of times the clothes off the rack don't fit properly. So they might fit in one part of your body. So if you have bigger hips, you might have trouble finding pants that come in at the waist far enough. So you want to get a tailor to take those things at the waist. And it's well worth the investment if it's something that you like and you think you might wear more often. Not only is it going to make you feel better, your clothes will look more sophisticated and your overall image will be more polished. Okay, so fit is super important. The next thing is a really fun favorite thing of mine, and that is color. Color is one of the very best tools you can use to create a pleasing impression with your image. Wearing the right colors for your skin type can make you look younger, healthier, friendly, and even wealthier. And I read something a while back, and I wasn't that surprised once I read it, but in Hollywood, for bad guys, what they do sometimes is dress them in colors intentionally that don't go with their skin. Because it gives this dissonant feeling. When you look at someone and they're not wearing a color that's flattering, you can see more shadows on their face, their skin tone looks uneven, it just doesn't resonate. So color is really, really important. There are two kind of basic things. You either have generally warm skin tones or generally cool skin tones. And you can have a warm skin tone and cool colored eyes and cooler color hair or vice versa. So you want to basically go by your skin tone because skin color covers, 80% of your body, whereas your hair covers less, but you still want to pay attention to that. Warm colors are yellow-based. So people with warm coloring tend to look better in creams, browns, peaches, yellow, warmer greens, fire engine red versus cherry red. And their skin tone might be olivey or more yellow. And one of the ways you can tell is if you turn your hands over and look at the veins on your wrist, if you have warm skin tone, the veins are going to be green versus blue because you're going to have more yellow in your skin. Now, the opposite of that is cool. Cool colors are blue-based. So a lot of European people have cool-colored skin tones. They have pink in their cheeks. They look better in grays and blacks and blue and cool greens and cherry red versus the warms. And so some tips for using color, use darker colors to minimize and lighter colors to accentuate, which we already said. And I also said find accessories in your eye color and wear them near your face. For a man, this could be a tie, right? So if you have blue eyes, if you wear blue stones near your face, it's going to pop your eye color. Same thing for brown. Or what's also really cool, okay, so now you're getting the advanced, this is not 101 image, this is 201 image. So if you have flecks of certain colors in your eyes, say you have brown eyes, but you have flecks of gold in your eyes, then if you wear gold jewelry, those little flecks kind of sparkle, it looks really cool. So that's an advanced tip for you. Okay, and please, if you can, ditch the black. I know everybody loves, loves, loves black, but unless you look fabulous in it, or you're wearing it because you want to feel a certain way, if you want to feel maybe sexy or sophisticated or modern or hip or edgy or cool, and you're doing it specifically for a specific intention, but a lot of times people use black as a default, and I know that it's slimming. Right? I know that it's slimming, but then wear it on the bottom or wear it in those places that you're doing it intentionally. Don't just fall back on black because it's convenient and it's everywhere. Because so many people, the color gets drawn out of your face. And because I interview people on television a lot, I see it. People come in black and it just does not translate on camera. They look washed out. So you want color. You want to look alive, and you can be creative and have fun with your colors. It makes you look amazing when you're wearing the right colors. So really, if you cannot use black, then don't use black, unless you're someone who looks really good in black. And use it, intentionally, just not as a default. Okay, another thing. Generally speaking, the more contrast you have between your hair and skin color, the more contrast you can wear in your colors. So if you have, like Jennifer Lopez, depending on what color her hair is, she has less contrast, right? She has that caramel, beautiful skin, and she has the warm hair and the brown eyes. She has less contrast as opposed to someone like, her name is just Jennifer Connelly. That's right, her name. She has dark raven black hair, light skin, and blue eyes. She has high, high contrast. Or someone like Elizabeth Taylor, high contrast, right? So she can wear more contrast in the colors that she wears, whereas Jennifer Lopez might look better in more blended, neutral, softer colors because there's not as much contrast. Okay. Then the next thing is pay attention to the psychology of the color to affect your mood and impact others. And I'm just going to give you the list, Philo, because this will really play into your brand as well, not just what you're wearing, but what you choose for your brand colors, for your marketing, for your website, for your Facebook ads. Red. Red is powerful, love, potent. It reflects energy, desire, action. So I'm not, you can read this more carefully on the templates that I gave you. Orange tends to be energy and determination. Orange is also sort of a man's version of pink. It's artistic. It can be quirky. If you think of Seth Godin, he wears orange, you know, sort of like that artsy-fartsy. Orange can be warmth. It can be the sun. Blue is great for trust, loyalty, authority, reliability. A lot of banks and financial institutions, you'll notice, use blue. Green is growth. It can be money, optimism, spring, youth, environment, all like green, you know, organic things. Purple can be lux. It can be dignity, wealth, royalty. It also can be kind of mystic, spiritual, inspirational. Pink is often for women. Love, romantic. You kind of have to be careful with pink sometimes because it can come across too girly in your branding unless your branding is very girly. But, it you know, we're women, we're girls, so whatever. You know, it's your brand. But you want to be aware and intentional when you're, what you're doing. So softness, sexiness, energy. And yellow can be happy, energetic, warmth, sunshine. It can also be cautionary and warning. Brown is wholesome. Think of like UPS, right? Wholesome, stable, comforting, earthy. Gray can be gray and subdued, but it also can be very elegant and formal and a really great accent color on your website if you don't want to do black. It can be a little bit more sophisticated. And then we talked about black, death, serious, but it can also be sexy and modern and elegant. And white, purity, innocence, clean, crisp, simplicity, it can be pristine. Now, one of the things to bear in mind is that these colors all have negative connotations if they're overused or used in the wrong context. And colors also have different meanings in different cultures. So if your industry is international or you deal with an international audience, you want to pay attention to and be sensitive to those cultural norms. Okay. Then the next section is about the intensity of your color, you know, and this has to do with your personality too. Is it strong, vibrant, bright, or is it softer and lighter and more subdued? Okay. Then the next piece is style. And we already talked a lot about this, establishing your style, your own style. And just the one thing that I want to say is style isn't fashion. It's not a trend. It's an expression of who you are, about a consistent look and making consistent wardrobe choices based on your brand criteria, based on your style words, based on your brand words. So go back. What is the image you're trying to project? And then the second thing is think about how you feel best. And I've already said it, like, you know, it's important because I've said it more than three times, right? For me, sensuality has to be in there, and that makes me feel the best. So that makes me feel confident and powerful and authentic. So what makes you feel comfortable and confident and powerful and authentic and like you're wearing your own skin? So you really want to think about that. And bear in mind, we all play many different roles in our lives at different times. What's appropriate for your personal life may not be appropriate for your business. But the more integrated you can be in all aspects of your life, the easier it's going to be for you to create a signature style. And like I said, casual is not a style. It's a level of dress. Okay, so that was about personal style. And now we're going to talk a little bit more about online. Because even if you don't right now, eventually you are going to want to have an online presence. Even if it's just a placeholder, it's like having a name in a phone book used to be. People are going to check you out. You know, if you were single and someone wanted to go on a date with you, the first thing you would do would be Google them. And that's the first thing people are doing for you about you, whether you're, you know, trying to get them to hire you for your services or as a speaker, right? They're going to be looking at your pictures. So you're going to have a website. You're going to have social media presence. You want to curate, nurture, and protect your online image. Remember, consistency is key. So go back to those brand words and don't be afraid to be bold. Really express yourself. It's going to help you stand out and be memorable. Now, when it comes to your online presence with your website, your social media platforms, I highly recommend you work with a graphic designer who specializes in branding or who collaborates with branders like me to create your brand portfolio, because piecemeal is not a brand strategy. You are going to distinguish yourself and separate from the crowd if you have an overall plan for your visual brand presence. You want alignment and creative direction to build your empire. Everyone who sees you should be able to immediately say, hey, there's Trish, there's Jen, there's Heather, there's Jane. That I see them. I don't even need to see their picture. I just know that that's their mark. That's their total. Oh, I totally get that. And sometimes what happens is we have a project, we have a launch, we have a talk, we have an event that's coming up, and we go to someone on Fiverr and we say, could you do this for me? Or we go to someone local and we say, could you make this flyer for me, this graphic for me? Could you do a Facebook ad for me? And there's nothing wrong with doing that. There is nothing wrong with doing that. But if you don't have an overall concept of what the brand is supposed to be, you're not going to have this cohesive, powerful image that's going to speak on your behalf. It's going to be piecemeal, and it's not going to be as attractive or lucrative for you in the long run. And by taking the time and investing in someone who's going to create this overall picture for you, in the long run, you are going to save yourself so much money, time, and energy, because there are so many tools available to you right now. There's Canva.com, that's Canva.com. There's PicMonkey. There are editing tools on Facebook. There's YouTube. There are all of these tools that you have at your disposal now that you can make a lot of your own graphics, and they look amazing. But if you are not following your creative direction of your brand, again, you're going to be piecemealing, and it's just going to save so much headaches to have a clear direction. So, okay, that's my soapbox about that. It doesn't have to be me, it doesn't have to be my team, but whoever you work with, make sure that you're going with someone who really has a sense of brand. On the other hand, if you are interested, I do have a team of people, so you can talk to me about that later. But I just wanted to say that. It wasn't a pitch for me. It's just I feel really strongly about having that cohesive brand. So, the next thing we're just going to go over is a checklist that I've included to consider as you build your brand footprint. There's no need to do everything on the list all at once, but as you grow, your visual library and your collateral is going to grow as well too. So the next thing we're going to go over is your brand image checklist. An image may not be everything. However, substance without great image is very hard to sell. To have an effective brand, it's extremely important to develop a consistent, recognizable image that reflects your voice in a polished way. So these are some of the things to look for. You want a headshot. You want that money shot, that one shot that's going to go on your Facebook page. Well, actually, I'm going to say that. Your website, maybe your LinkedIn profile, your money shot. It's going to be the one that you send out when you're doing your speaking. Get hair and makeup done. Go to a professional photographer. Get that one shot that is you can put on anything. You might be on your business card. Please, unless you are an IRS agent, a Secret Service agent, or a security guard, please smile in at least one of your pictures. You're going to sell more. You will sell more if you have pictures where you're smiling. It's just more attractive and draws people in. Do you have a picture of yourself in action, doing what you do that's on brand? If you're speaking, do you have a picture of yourself speaking? If you work in intimate settings with clients, have someone take a picture of you with a client in a cozy space. Do I have pictures of myself from different angles? This is really important for marketing and Facebook ads, right? You might want to put the copy on one side for one thing and the copy on the other side for the other thing. And even though there are tools available to flip images in Canva, and I think that you might even be able to do it just on your PC, your face doesn't always look the same. Now, I know that one of my eyes is a lot bigger than the other one, and when I flip it sometimes in those tools, it just doesn't look as good. So when you're at the photographer, try to get different angles. Okay, we've already talked about colors, so think about what your brand colors are. Then what the intensity is, what kinds of fonts do you want to use, right? Do you want the swirly fonts? Are they, you know, is your brand very feminine or very sophisticated or soft? Do you want flourishes, or is it more modern and kooky and fun and crazy? You might want to have one of those newer fonts. Is it sleek and sophisticated? Do you want, you know, serif or sans serif? And then logos, what kinds of colors and images do you want? What textures do you like? Are there any symbols that represent what you do? You know, are you in healthcare? Would, you know, is it something organic? Do you want to have something green and leafy? So what reflects my industry and what reflects my brand persona? Next, video. And video is huge. If you haven't started using video yet, hang up right now and go start doing it. It's huge. Do I have the proper equipment? And really all you need is your iPhone or your computer, right? You just need a camera. Do I have the right wardrobe? Do I have proper lighting? You can get lighting kits from Amazon for really cheap. And outdoor lighting is fantastic. Sit in front of your window or get a nice lamp so that your face is lit. I have an on-brand stage for recording. So do you have a nice little cubby in your house or wherever you're recording that's sort of set up and staged behind you so it looks on-brand? You could even print out, you know, a logo and send it to one of those companies that does photo finishing and get like not sticky, but those things that you can put decals, like a decal to put behind you wherever you're recording. Just have it look nice. You don't want to have your kids' socks hanging over the chairs behind you when you're recording. Not that I have ever done that. So the next thing is social media. I have an appropriate and approachable profile picture. So, you know, the different profiles, each are a little bit different. Like Facebook is a little bit friendlier and laid back than LinkedIn. You might have a different picture for Facebook than you do for LinkedIn. My banner reflects my brand image, my colors, or my logo. Don't be afraid to use your banners for your marketing. The pictures and articles I post reflect the best part of my image and core brand message. Keep it on brand. Then your business card. It's easy to read. My name is on it. My full name is on it. I'm biased. I love cards that have your picture on it because people don't remember. If you're in marketing, if you're in a networking event and there are 50 people there and they go home and they see your card, if your picture's on it, they can say, oh, that's that lovely woman I talked to. But if it's not, it's so much harder. I love cards with pictures on them. The only disadvantage is if you change your hair or you gain or lose weight or whatever, you change your look, you have to update it, but it's not that expensive to do that. So your card has all your contact information, including your social media. The next one I love, your card has a call to action. Is there a freebie that you give away? Put that on your URL on your card. It looks professionally made. Make sure it looks as high-end as possible. Does it have your logo? For your email signature, I have a scanned picture on or one in a branded font. Signature. So put, you know, you can scan your signature into your computer and use that. That's very nice. Other contact information, a call to action like visit me on my Facebook page. Or again, you can put in your email signature, your freebie, your link to your freebie, or your tagline. Or some people do nice little quotes. Put your title. I could put Star Maker on mine, right? Heather Poduska, Star Maker. And then a link to my webinar for on how to close the room. Again, websites, you can go through this. I have pictures of myself in the banner. It looks polished. I have copy that reflects my brand. My website's easy to navigate. And if you're not a webmaster, have someone else help you with this. Don't slave over it yourself. Marketing materials, do you have bios and flyers, letterhead, templates, binders, labels, postcards, and all of those great things? And again, if you work with a graphic designer who is also a brander, you can get all of that done in a package, and then you have it. Okay, so I know my best colors. What are my best colors? I look great in peach, teal, and tan. Those are my best colors. And my brand style personalities, we already did that. My style words are. And this one is also a great one to end on. It's also a pet peeve of mine because I'm totally neurotic about my hair, which I think 99.9% of all women are. Have a great haircut that is current, flatters my face, and is appropriate for my age and industry, because it makes such a big impact. You can get away with so many things if you have a great haircut. You know, you might not have the greatest shoes. Your pants might not be the most flattering. But if someone is looking at your face and your haircut looks stylish, it just makes all the difference in the world. So that's a really big pet peeve of mine. Have a killer haircut. Okay, I know we went over a lot. There's a lot to think about, but distill the information. Remember, they see you before they hear you. And the higher the polish, no matter what your brand is, no matter what your style is, no matter what your industry is, the higher the polish, the more pulled together you are, the more consistent you are, the higher the perceived value. Your homework, do your research, ask your community for the three adjective words that describe you. Use those as your filter for everything you put out in public that is for your brand. You will look and feel amazing and have a very responsive audience. Okay, there you have it. That's how to create a killer on-brand image. So much to think about. So I'm going to open the lines for your questions. Hold on. All righty, who has a question?
I do, unless Jen.
Okay. I know.
It's actually really bugging me.
Okay.
So, obviously, I think you both know, being in law enforcement for 20 years,
yes.
I was undercover, so I would be in a suit every day. I would literally get in trouble for my heel height. And my lieutenant, one lieutenant told me, who was a female, that I was too sexy and too pretty to be a cop, and I was in the wrong industry. However, I have tools that she can't teach anybody, and that's why I'm so good at what I do. And I turned to her, and I said, when did you become the fashion police? And when did you decide not to take care of yourself? Because if you spent 20 extra minutes on your hair and makeup, you might feel better. And I can run faster in my 4-inch heels than any man can in their Rockports. Now let's discuss how many foot pursuits I've been in and how many anybody else has been in. I was very upset. And I
can hear that.
Yeah. But I mean, I was very, because I was so passionate about what I did. And I literally did get up every morning earlier, always to be presentable. Because when I was young, we were told you do not leave the house in sweatpants. You are constantly representing my dad, who was a professional athlete. You are always representing who I am. And I don't want anybody ever saying, oh, she looks this way or she looks that way. I mean, no tank tops were allowed, no baseball caps. My brothers weren't allowed to wear hats, no tank top. I mean, very strict, naval, military, right? So going from that image to having to turn over, as I say, I traded in my badge for a pink ribbon is one thing I say. I still have a badge and a gun, but it's just a way of saying things. My transition in life. And I turned it in and I got my surfboard and my cowboy hat. I mean, that is my image. And
perfect.
I had a dear friend of mine, just in the last several months, I went and asked her, actually, if I could set up some seminars at her place of work, because it was just a great venue to have seminars done. And she sat me down. She's known me. I mean, she took care of Dominic, my oldest child, after he was born for a couple days a week for me. So we're very close. But she said, what happened to you? And I said, what are you talking about? And she goes, Vera, stop. She said, you're a character. Like, you, where did Trish go? You are now like this character out of a book. And it truly hurt my feelings. And she goes, why do you wear a cowboy hat? And I said, because I can. And I want to. And it's like, you know, men walk out of the house and they put a baseball cap on and they leave. Like, that's my authenticity. It's part of my person. It was like a gun is part of my person. It was for 20 years.
So is your question about the – what's your question? How can I help
Well, it just I guess I'm just expressing, like, how she said, well, this is how you're perceived. I said, by whom? The Little League field? And now, of course, looking at her, and she is a GM of this amazing club. She is overweight, which I was 140 pounds overweight. There's no judgment. Does not wear the right style clothes. Is very sloppy. Does not fit the part of being a GM of a club, exercise club. So think about where it's coming from, right?
Right.
So, like, who's judging me is not a sign of perfection whatsoever.
Right. And I think that, you know, the thing is you want to please – there are a couple of things. You express yourself, you please yourself, right? You express your personality, your brand, your authenticity. You have one canvas, right? You want to express yourself, but you're also working with a canvas, which is your body, and there are certain elements that are already solid, right? You have a specific skin tone. You have specific eye color, right? So those are some preset things that you're working with, but within those parameters, it's how you want to express yourself. Now, having said that, you also want to consider your audience and your industry, right? If you went to work at a bank and you were wearing your cowboy hat, that probably wouldn't work. So, you know, if you're giving a talk to college students or to corporate, it might be slightly different. Maybe it wouldn't be, you know, maybe it wouldn't be at all. It really just depends on your brand, what you're selling, and who your audience is, and your comfort level.
So,
does that make sense?
It does. It absolutely does make sense. And it's funny because when so many things resonated with me when you said, oh, that's Trish. Like, people know, like, my car, I can't go out anywhere. And it's so funny, if my son is driving my car, people will text me, I see your car, where are you? And it's like, okay, no privacy whatsoever, because everybody knows my car. But that's Trish, or that's Trish. You know what I mean? So it's, I've gone through that already, and I'm so extremely comfortable in my own skin and putting my cowboy hat on. And I guess I need to know, what, like, when is it not appropriate to wear my cowboy hat, because it's just a part of me?
Well, I think it depends, again, on your audience, right? Would you, and your comfort level. Would you feel, do you wear your cowboy hat when you go speak in corporate, like when you were speaking to the hotels?
I did. And
well,
you want to know something? Actually, this is interesting because I also spoke at the hospital, and my doctor said, Trish, please don't wear your cowboy hat. And I said, okay, but I carried it in with me. And everybody said, can you please put that hat on?
Mm-hmm.
And
so
I looked
just
at my doctor, and he's like, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, it really is, it has to feel right to you. I don't think that you should, you know, some people might, I think that's a really good example. They might say that to you, but another part of it is, Trish, you've earned the right, we all have, but in your particular circumstance, you've earned the right to wear whatever you want, and it can be part of your talk, right?
Right.
Right? I've learned that there's nothing more important than loving yourself. We have limited time. You need to enjoy yourself, be who you are. And this hat, I've earned the right to wear this hat.
And I'm not
right.
Hiding. She asked, what are you hiding behind your hat? I said, absolutely nothing.
Right. So,
you know, so it, just,
it depends
it
on how much of it you want to make it. It depends on how much you want to make it your brand statement, because that sounds perfect. Like, that is a signature thing of yours. But at the same time, you know, if you were going to the White House, would you wear the hat? I don't know. It depends. Does that make sense? You might.
Yeah, I'd wear a really formal one.
Well, so, you know, think about someone like Johnny Cash,
yeah.
If that was part of his brand.
Right.
If it's part of your brand, it's part of your brand.
Okay.
But then your brand might not be appropriate, and you might not get certain things, certain opportunities for that reason. But maybe you would. I know
correct.
A guy that, you know, he wears cowboy boots and these crazy, like, $400 Western shirts that I think look crazy, and he speaks in corporate all the time.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Well, thank you. Yeah, it definitely does. It definitely does. And I don't have a problem not wearing my hat. It's just kind of like what hat am I? It's like sometimes the outfit, it revolves around what hat I want to wear that
so
day.
This is what I would say. I would say own it, right? You love it. It's part of who you are. It means something very significant to you. And know that you're always in control. So you can make an intentional decision, right?
Okay.
If you notice that people aren't hiring you because of the way you dress or they say things to you or you get the sense that it's not going to work, you can make a decision of like, do I want to be in this place where I cannot be fully myself? Or, you know what, it's fine. I'm really happy to take my hat off if it means an extra $10,000. So you
Absolutely.
Are in control of that the thing I don't want you to do is to succumb to people who are judging and critical. And
that was only one person. It just happened to be someone close to me.
Yeah.
You know,
so, but that you understand the difference, that you're in control and that it's part of your brand, but that you may or may not make different choices based on the audience that you're dealing with at the time.
Okay.
Does that make
sense?
Thank
you. That makes great sense.
Good. Jen, did you have a question?
No, I think that it made me think a lot because you know that I use the word casual a lot, and that's not a style. So it made me think a lot about that piece because when I think about kind of how I like to dress, and even if I go out to buy jewelry, like, you know the Stella and Dot people, you know those people?
Yeah.
Okay, so I just went to one of those parties, and they had these great chunky necklaces. I totally thought of you, Heather, because I'm like, oh, God.
I actually have some of
necklaces.
Those.
I know, and they're fantastic. And I would put them on, and I'd look in the mirror, and I'm like, this is so great. And then I'm like, I would never wear it. Like, I wouldn't think to wear it. And everybody's like, oh, it looks so good on you, and there's so much color. And I'm like, I know. And I ended up buying this longer piece because I tend to like a longer piece of jewelry.
Yep.
And I ended up getting one with – color, because even though I usually wear just like very simple, very rarely do I wear things. I usually just wear my diamond earrings, my wedding band. I don't like stuff. I don't even like how it feels on me. So when I think about my style, I'm like jeans, a white t-shirt, and a gray cashmere sweater is like how I dress.
So,
but presenting differently, like going out to networking, I think I do a good job, but I wear the same thing every time.
But that's okay. That's maybe your uniform then. And that you feel, if you feel good in it, do you feel like you are representing yourself?
It's getting a little old. You know, like I definitely need to.
Just some color under the gray.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that. It's very hard.
Well, you know what?
I put it on, I take it off. But I think you're right. I think that I do need something a little bit. I need some new stuff, and I'm just depending on, you know, what am I drawn to, but how
can
I
also... go through the exercise. Go through the exercise. And the other thing is, if you're not 100% sure, get out some magazines, go online, and anytime you see an image, and don't judge it, don't try to figure it out. Anytime you see an image that you like that resonates with you, cut it out. And just until you have, like, 20, 30 different images, and then look through, and you're going to see a pattern. You're going to see, oh, I really like things. And for you, I know you a little bit, but you're so feminine. And talk about sensuality. I mean, you're sensual and soft, and you have that gorgeous mane of hair, and you are like that laid back, I don't know, I just find you to be soft and sensual. And so those kinds of, and
I'm sorry, Heather.
What's that?
No, finish. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I was going to say, I can totally see why, like, a statement necklace, like a power statement necklace, wouldn't resonate with you.
Right. And it's hard because, like, I also want to be age appropriate. And so when I think about where I would like to shop, you know, I like things at Free People, but that's very boho and that's really casual. But the things... there's really not, when I think about shopping, there's not a store that I'm drawn to anymore. You know, there's nothing great that matches me. So I need to find pieces that feel just kind of sophisticated yet clean. I don't know. It's you
not,
really
not
made
fussy.
Me think
you're
about it.
You're not a
it.
Fussy girl.
Oh God, I'm so not fussy. I'm not fussy.
Yeah.
I try fussy and then I never wear the fussy. So
exactly.
And I don't
right.
like to feel like I'm constricted. I don't like that very tailored feeling either. It doesn't
mm-hmm.
fit me. But it really got me thinking. I'm like, where would I go shopping? I don't even know where I would go shopping at this point because.
Well, do the exercise again. Like,
yeah.
And you might, you know, for you it might not end up being, I'm going to go to the mall. It might be I found this great boutique.
Exactly.
Right? And it
yeah.
might be more fun for you, too. And, sadly, I think that for us it's a little bit tricky around here because it's not as
boutique-y.
Different
there's
parts
nothing,
of the country
right.
are way better for that.
Yeah.
But you might find this little gem somewhere. I'll think about if I can think of some places to recommend for you. But
you
I don't
know.
Maybe
do
even.
Do you have Nordstrom there? Do you have Nordstrom
yeah.
there?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have Nordstrom's.
Because you know what, Jen? It doesn't cost anything. They have personal shoppers there.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't cost anything, and they will help you. They'll go around the store and pick all different kinds of things, and you like sit back, relax, and have a play date, trying on different
right.
style clothes.
No, it's a great idea, and it's not so much that I can't put things on my body that I know look good. I don't have a problem with that. There's just no clothes out there I find very interesting right now. But you bring, you know, Heather, you said something really interesting. A friend of mine came up from New York, and she was here for 3 days because she's in a crafts fair. She was selling her wares. And every morning she got dressed, I'm like, where'd you get that? And she's like, oh, this store near my house. There's this really nice store in New York. And I'm like, of
mm-hmm.
course. So maybe
mm-hmm.
it's a matter of just finding
or
a
just,
new
yeah, or maybe take
place.
You know, maybe do a little outing and like Newton and those areas sometimes have little hidden stores.
They do.
And,
there's like Wow and things like that. That
and you
good.
Know where else?
You
I think in downtown Boston, somebody was telling me there's a new store that's like a level. I forget what it was called. A level up from H&M. But it might. But I also think, like, Banana Republic might have some things for you because it's kind of
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, every once in a while
I
have a piece. So I just got to look. You just got me thinking. So I appreciate the inspiration to just start
but
kind
go
of
get
going,
yourself
hmm.
some magazines. Go get yourself some magazines and just do that exercise and pull everything that you like.
Yeah.
You know?
It's so expensive.
But don't worry
thing.
About it. Don't,
yeah.
don't worry about it because you're not buying anything. You're just doing the exercise, and you're going to
yeah.
see patterns, and then you'll get a really much better sense of what you like, and then you can go back and notice, okay, where was this advertisement from? Oh, okay,
mm-hmm.
that store. So maybe I can check that out.
Yep. Okay.
Hey, Jen, when I was in New York several months ago, I love Marshalls and TJ Maxx and Nordstrom
mm-hmm.
Rack.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not believe the section of Free People that they have.
Yeah, they do carry a lot.
TJ Maxx or something. You know what I mean? And those are
yeah.
unique pieces. Where
I know.
But I think there is a happy medium for you for that. I know what you're saying. That's a little bit more sophisticated than that because I think you also have that sometimes. I mean, I've seen some killer pictures of you where you're all dressed up too.
No, I do have some great, but you made me think, you know, just because I tend to be, like, I want to wear jeans and a T-shirt and curl up on my couch with my clients, I need to get my clients. I need
right.
my clients to see me as powerful and trustworthy and that will help them, truly guide them
but
and
you
support
know, but,
them.
But, Jen, listen,
mm.
your
mm.
clients are A-type stressed people and they're looking for a soft place to land. You want to be confident. Competent, you want to appear competent,
yeah.
you want to appear professional. But if you show up, you know, all zipped up, that's not going to be your brand, and that's not why
no.
they're going to be attracted to you. So
you're right.
You
you're
do.
Right.
I want you to do that exercise with the three words and interview your clients.
Okay.
Because they're going to tell you three words that they loved about you, and then you're going to be like, okay, I need to create images and present myself in this way because those are the people who are working with me, and that's why they're drawn to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Does that make sense?
I could do that.
Yeah, and it's fun. Both of you need to do that. And anybody who's listening to the recording, do that. It's very important.
Yeah.
And it's fun. It's fun, too.
I've done an exercise like that for similar to not just the branding but the copy in terms of what do people appreciate about me.
That's right.
And it was really fascinating. It was really
fascinating. And then you can play with it, too. Like, if it was, you know, if it came back that you were warm and loving, that could be lots of different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all the different expressions of that. And the more you can make it your own, the more fun it is. So, all right, my friends, tomorrow we will be covering how to do a content calendar so that you can really take the burden of trying to constantly think of new things to write about and systematize it.
Okay.
Okay.
Awesome.
All righty. So let me know how it goes. I want to know the word that you come up with. So
just put it on Facebook, three words.
Yep. And I'll, you know, we're friends. Trish, I'm not sure we're friends, but if you put it on there, I will put my words on there for you. Tag me.
Okay.
I don't think we're friends, Heather. Jen, are we friends?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh,
I think so.
Yeah, I think he friends me. Yeah, I think he friends
me. Okay, well, Trish, we'll try to friend each other, and then I'll do my words for you guys too. Okay.
Okay. Thank you, Heather.
Thanks, Heather.
Okay. Have a good one. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.